Smiting the arrows, smite the arrows. 2 Kings chapter 13, I'm going to start reading with the 14th verse. Chapter 13, verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. Now I hope you understand that. He was on his deathbed. The great man of God, Elijah's following man, the man that picked up Elijah's mantle, Elisha. He was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down to see him, and he wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." He said, "Oh, my goodness sake, I had no idea you were this low, Elisha. What in the world are we going to do?" I'll tell you what, the king in that day, if he was aware of the man of God, he knew that he had the greatest force on his side that was available to any man. He said, "I can't believe it. What are we going to do, Elisha? You're at the point of death." And Elisha said unto him, "Take bow and arrow." And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, "Put thy hand upon the bow." And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. I just want us to get the picture. Elisha reaches around, and this is my own visual interpretation, as Joash picked up the bow and Elisha puts his hands around him and puts his hand on the string and on the bow, and he said, "Open the window eastward," and he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot," and he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them." Now you have to understand that this was the declaration of war. Elisha is about to die. Joash is a very worried king. The enemy is there. The enemy was around them. And the enemy was a tremendous threat to them. But Elisha said, "Hey, this is the arrow of the Lord." I read a little and it said they could use a spear. They could have used a knife of some sort, or any article of weaponry that they would cast toward the enemy, and it was a declaration of war. And I can see that in this portion of scripture. And he said, "Open the window, shoot." So he shot the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Then he turned to the king and says, "Take the arrows." And he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, "Smite up on the ground," and he smote thrice and stayed. The man of God was wroth with him and said, "Thou should have smitten 5 or 6 times, then hadst thou smitten Israel till thou hadst consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice." And so he'd made the declaration. Then he said, "Take up the arrows." He said, "I want you to get excited. I am on my last leg. I may not be here when it happens. I am sick. I am sick unto death. I'll be departing before long." But he said, "You need to get excited about this, king, because God will fight your battle. God will bring the victory if you'll allow him to bring the victory." And he was very upset because he just smote the earth with the arrows three times. And I've demonstrated this before and had somebody take some sticks and beat him to death on the floor. That's what the king wanted him. That's what Elisha wanted him to do. That's what the man of God wanted him to do. God is on our side. The enemy don't like you. The enemy does not like us. But I tell you what, with the power of God in our hands, the enemy does not have a chance. Get excited. Get excited. Oh, yeah. Brother Spencer, you know, I turn 71 next week, and I'm not a spring chicken. I know most of you can't understand that. You can't see it. You don't realize it. I'm just so young and spry. But I may be off the scene before the 71st birthday. But I tell you what, if we can get excited, if you can get excited, we can see the work of the Lord go forward, not to glorify any individual, but to lift up the name of Jesus to build the kingdom of God upon this earth. Amen. And so we just gotta get excited. Maybe we ought to plan a little work. Maybe we ought to work our plan. I remember when I worked for Reynolds Aluminum, and I worked there for 10 years, a big corporation, and I worked in one of the smaller branches, but I know they kept that as a motto. They kept it before us almost all the time. Plan your work and then work your plan. Don't let it get out from under you. You've got to plan your work. But if you don't plan your work, you'll never, ever accomplish anything. So plan your work and then work your plan. And that's what God wants every one of us to do. See the potential. See what can happen. And you say, well, I'm nobody. Yeah, I know it. You're just like I am. You're nobody until Jesus Christ comes into your life. Amen. Then you're a powerhouse for God. I read an article. My message is on smiting the arrow and having determination in your heart and in your life. And there wasn't much money in 1932, so it was no time to buy a drugstore. Then grasshoppers ate all the crops in the region. This, in turn, was followed with a dust bowl and a long drought, temperatures for 10 days straight of over 100 degrees. If I can get my reading right here, so the drugstore seemed about to fold. Nevertheless, Ted and Dorothy Husted were believers in God. They asked themselves, how can we get these people into the drugstore? They said, we'll put up a sign. So they went 25 miles in each direction and put up a sign that read, free ice and water at the Wall Drugstore, Wall, South Dakota. They put up a sign at 10 miles and at 5 miles. And at 5 miles, the sign read, hold on, only 5 miles to Wall Drugstore and free ice water. They got so enthusiastic that they put up a sign in Albany, New York, 1,725 miles to the drugstore. Now, I tell you what, this got my curiosity up, and I'm fixing to go to Wall, South Dakota. Now, druggists, here's an amazing thing. It said, now, druggists in those days had been handing out free ice water for generations. But Ted and Dorothy were the first people who ever thought of advertising it. Today, more than 15,000 people crowd the drugstore on a busy day in this little town of 800 people. It remains the most spectacular, successful drugstore in the entire industry. And I'm thinking, just like you, 1932. This is an old article. So you know what I did? I did something that I've maybe done one other time in my life. I Googled. Now, you old-timers, just hold on. I Googled Walls Drugstore, South Dakota, United States of America, population 800. Today, it is a most industrious, a most successful drugstore in the entire industry. So now you see why I want to go to South Dakota and go to Wall's Drugstore. I don't know. Maybe I'll get a cup of ice if I ever get there. But I thought, you know, I'd like to see that. Community of 800 people, 15,000 people a day. I mean, it's almost like going to Disneyland. You know, the crowds must be there. Of course, they're there for more now than what they were then. You go on Google and it tells you other amenities that they have spread out into, but most successful in the industry. It's still, folks, we need to realize that it's dry out there. It is hot out there. We've got the ice water. What are we going to do about it? Hey, why don't we put up a few signs? Why don't we talk to somebody? Why don't we get to the place to where they Google and say, yeah, out in Riverdale, California, there's a big old church out there. God's moving. God's healing. God's doing some work in some hearts and lives. It's going to have to start in my life. It's going to have to start in your life. We're going to have to be excited. Put up a sign. We've got some ice water for the world today. Get excited about it. You know what? I am saved. I am so saved. I am so thankful that I'm saved. I want the world to know that I am saved. You need to tell the world that you're saved. Now, let me tell you something. Those 15,000 people that go to Wall's Drugstore today, past drugstores up on probably hundreds of drugstores up and down the road. But they go there because there's excitement, because something has happened. They put out some signs and they advertised. If it was 1,700 miles away, because they had something to offer to the people that were hot and dry. And I tell you what, all around us, all around you, there are people out there in the very depths of sin and corruption, and we have exactly what they need. Let's not sit in our sealed houses. Let's not be comfortable in the house of God. Let's get so excited when we sing the song. It rises up in our heart. We jump to our feet. We clap our hands. And then we walk out of this place and we go to our next door neighbors. They've been down at the local Baptist church. They've been over at the Methodist church. They've been here. They've been there. And you say, man, I tell you what, we had ice water at church this morning. Get excited about it. Well, the rest of my family, they're involved in church. They call themselves Christian. Get so excited. They wonder why you are such a crazy nut about your religion. They may drive out here to find out what's going on. Get excited about it. Get excited about it. I believe that's the reason why God moves in your behalf. Is whenever you get so excited about Jesus Christ. Amen. You can walk into the face of any kind of a situation and you can raise your hands to the Lord God Almighty and you can believe God, and God will work a miracle in your behalf. I don't care where you're at. But I'm not a preacher. I'm not a great person of testimony. Tell them what God's done in your life.
Hallelujah.
Get excited about it. Walk out of these doors today saying, you know what Brother Spencer preached on today? Ice water. So what kind of a nut is he? Then tell him about our God that will rule and reign in a dead, dry, hot, terrible society. People headed for hell. And you know what? We've got ice water to give to them. We've got salvation to offer to them. Well, I went to church today. We had a wonderful message. Oh, yes, I know. We have nicey-nicey churches and nicey-nicey messages across this nation. But I tell you what, we better get excited because we got something to offer to the people. They need to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Put up a sign. Get excited about it. I want the world to know that I am saved. Don't let the devil cower you into the place to where people say, yeah, I know about that bunch. They're legalists. They are a cult. They're this, they're that. No. We preach the word of God. We teach the word of God. We stand upon the word of God. We sing about Jesus Christ, and God moves in our behalf. Get to the place where you're not ashamed. I know some of you are still a little ashamed about maybe the way sometimes our men run and shout. Boy, I'm not ashamed. I am not ashamed, I tell you. And I'm not ashamed when we have a quiet service. That don't bug me one bit. I believe that every area of this thing can be anointed and have the blessings of God upon it. But don't walk out saying you're ashamed down in the depths of your heart. Get excited about it. You cannot sell it or give it away if you're ashamed of it. Well, Brother Spencer's a clothesline preacher. Say, oh, I'm glad he is. Hallelujah. Don't get ashamed about it. I probably am a clothesline preacher. That's fine. Who cares? I'll tell you what. 67 young people lined this platform on Sunday night. On Wednesday night, rather. I wasn't ashamed. Hallelujah. I sat in a barber's chair the day before yesterday. I said I counted 67 young people. People are looking for somebody that's excited about Jesus Christ. You know what you need to do? You need to hate sin, because sin destroys. You need to hate it in the church. You need to hate it in your life. You need to hate it in your children's lives. You need to hate it in every area. When you come in contact with it, you need to hate it, and you need to get excited about hating sin. Hey, make your mark. What Sister Spencer always say? I refuse to live and die, not make a mark. I refuse to live and die and not make a mark. God didn't expect us to be undercover agents. I think we ought to be bold about it. Amen. Amen. Put up a sign. Get excited. Let the world know that it needs to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But you're never going to do it if you're operating as an undercover agent. Over the years, the people of Riverdale Assembly of God have excited others, absolutely excited others, because you talked about Jesus Christ from the time you got up until the time you went to bed. But some of that has waned. You know, some of that has waned, and you're not just quite as excited as you used to be. I'd like to stir you up just a little bit. Amen. I think that's what our song service was about. Amen. I think that's what Jimmy's saying at the piano. I sold Volvos in the late 1950s. No, I never worked for an automobile agency. I never pulled a paycheck. But I tell you what, I sold Volvos. You know why? I bought one and it excited me. It had those two little twin barrel carburetors under that hood. Boy, you could rev that engine up and it would go. I had about five guys in our church that bought Volvos. I had a brother that bought a Volvo. I mean, if I'd have just signed up, if I'd been smart enough, I could have went and made some money, no doubt. But the reason I sold the Volvos was because I was excited. And I demonstrated them. I could run that thing, and you young men, shut your ears. I mean, I could slide Brodies. I could stand that thing over on two wheels almost. Back in those days, I went to some of the Daredevil shows and hard tops, and I could do anything. I'd get away from that, and I mean, it was in my blood, and I'd take that Volvo, and didn't matter who rode with me, I'd show them what it was doing. I had an uncle. Uncle Nathan, she's telling Vanita about it right now. Uncle Nathan, he looked pretty sharp. I said, well, come on, I'll take your ride. He said, I'll never ride with Charlie Spencer again. He didn't buy a Volvo. But I tell you what, I sold a lot of them, Steve, because I was excited about it. I took it out and demonstrated. I could demonstrate it in a way that a salesman could never demonstrate it. I would put it through the loops. No, I wasn't employed by him, but they got a lot of business. When that Volvo's hit the market in the United States of America, I was probably their leading salesman for a few months there. Because I was excited. I liked what it would do. They said, this has got a 5-bolt main, and it was a straight, I don't know just what it was, but it said this thing will RPMs, you can scream it out there, and you'll never affect it because of the balance. Now, I'm just asking us today, don't lose your excitement of what Jesus Christ has done in your life. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, everybody's heard that I've got saved. Tell it again. Tell it again. Tell it again. Tell it again. Get excited about it. You know what? Jesus Christ did something in my life that nothing else. I drove by all kinds of churches, but all of a sudden I come to a church where they were excited. They sang excitement on Sunday morning as well as on Wednesday. They allowed the power of God to flow. We've had people filled with the Holy Ghost on Wednesday night. At camp, anywhere, everywhere, because it's available, it's needed. And we're excited about what God can do in our hearts and lives. Don't lose the thrill of your salvation. You cannot influence others unless you're excited about it. If you're humdrum about what God's doing in your life, they'll never buy what you've got. Then I wrote the song title, Get All Excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Well, you just think your church is better than anybody else's. Now you're getting the picture. 1,725 miles, come to Walls Drugstore. Don't need a fancy name. It needs ice water. I don't know what they're getting in other churches, but I tell you what, I can't tell the difference from the saint and the sinner. When you men come and talk to me and you say certain people from a certain church, they come along and I thought we was going to have Christian fellows to work with, and their mouths are as filthy as can be. They talk about their experiences on the weekend just like the rest of the sinners on the job, and they're no more sinners, no more Christians than a man in the moon. You think your church is better than any other church? Yeah. That's the reason I'm here. Wasn't the greatest church, I'd go find the greatest church and get involved in it. Hallelujah. Well, it's out in that little old stinky community. Yeah. Hallelujah. Serve some more ice water. Come on, put up some sign. Let the world know. Let everybody in your family know that God's doing something. What a powerful, powerful move of God. Last week around this altar service. Friday night. At youth service, where they come and have fun and games, but something happened, and the power of God touched hearts and lives. It didn't just stay here, but we understand that it went out into homes of young couples. Amen. Get excited about it. That's what God's power can and will do. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. You tell me it's not exciting to be a part of a church that's on fire. Doing something for Jesus Christ. Individuals healed. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Get excited about when the old enemy comes in like a flood. Get a hold of those arrows and smite them until you drive the enemy out.